My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
We're back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike DiTillo, along with Cullen Steele, handling everything behind the scenes. We're going to go to our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talk and text line. And on that line is host of BetMGM Tonight and Odyssey Sports BetQL Insider Brad Evans. BetQL Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure to listen to the BetMGM Tonight podcast. For more analysis, just search BetMGM Tonight wherever you find your podcast. Brad, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. How you doing, bud?
I am spectacular. I hope you're doing well.
Doing great. Brad, right off the bat, less than an hour ago, Saints head coach Dennis Allen announced that Spencer Rattler will be the starter for the Saints at quarterback, with Derek Carr most likely missing multiple weeks with the oblique injury. Does that change your thoughts on Saints-Bucks? The one thing for me, I know who's the more talented guy between him and Jake Haener. Spencer Rattler can spin the ball. The problem with the Saints is they have no running game, and their offensive line has not played nearly as well. Once Eric McCoy went down to the injury, and then Taysom Hill gets hurt, and so you haven't been able to run the football. The impact of Spencer Rattler, you feel, because we've seen rookie quarterbacks really look good, like a C.J. Stroud, like a Jaden Daniels, and others, they find out it's a big jump to the NFL, especially when they don't have somebody to protect them.
Yeah, there's no question about it. Yeah, you're right. I mean, Rattler is a guy that's going to go out there and be a gunslinger. You know, he's going to try to play uninhibited and unafraid, and that could be a good or bad thing. You know, it could be a bit reckless, which could be, you know, a turnover-prone issue as a result. But that aggressiveness could really, you know, help him out against a secondary that's been up and down this season. Jamel Dean has been one of the friendliest DBs in the league for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So, you know, maybe this is a get-right spot for, like, Chris Olave, who's been on the struggle bus so far this season, a guy that's, you know, squandered some opportunities, underachieved in many ways. We know the big play capability of Rashid Shaheed. It's totally undetermined what Spencer Rattler is going to be able to do. But the matchup on paper is above average, to say the least. Get, you know, adequate protection, try to balance out the offensive scheme with a whole heavy dose of Alvin Kamara, and he may be able to surprise and shock the world. But the spread right now, it's been moving. The Saints are now catching 3.5 at home based on the news, of course, that Spencer Rattler is going to be under center instead of Derek Carr.
Your thoughts on LSU Ole Miss? I look at it from the quarterback standpoint. I talked to Danny Cannell in the first hour about it. Is, man, Garrett's the type of guy, he's like a surgeon. You know, he cuts you certain ways, and he sort of bleeds you. You know, he's not been able to hit, other than a play or two, the big play downfield, which we got used to with Jaden Daniels. But he doesn't have Chris Hilton in the lineup and won't this week again. Jackson Dart's a different story. Jackson is a mirror image of Lane. In essence, we've seen it back-to-back, back games, three ring games in a row. He could hit open receivers that are in that 8 to 10-yard range. No, he's throwing the football 25, 30 yards downfield, trying to hit the big chunk play. That there's some good to that, but anytime you kind of give up yardage to try to hit the big play and consistently do it, I don't like that part of Jackson Dart's game.
Yeah, it's definitely a downside for him, and a guy that can be reckless at times, but we have also seen him be incredibly accurate and thorough in the execution and dissection of a lot of secondaries. I mean, the guy has completed 73.4% of his attempts so far this season, which is just, you know, off the charts, otherworldly. He's got a 13-2 touchdown interception split. So a guy that is really thriving in a very assertive and aggressive Lane Kiffin offense. I think really the calling card, and if you're an LSU fan, you're really worried about, maybe not so much offensively for Ole Miss, but defensively. I think this is a very underrated defensive team. The EPA data really spells that out. They're number six in the country EPA per play offense. They're number seven in the nation EPA per play defense, and that's a shortcoming of the Tigers. Been clawless at times defensively. They may be able to hang punch for punch, score the football, but you know, can they get stops when they got to have it late in the game? I think that is the one deterrent that I would have in this contest. But I think it's kind of, you know, maybe come down to whoever has the ball last, and that's indicative of the spread right now.
We saw it last year.
Ole Miss laying 3.5.
We saw it last year. And, man, Jaden put one out there in the middle of the end zone, and Chris Hilton couldn't come up with it, hit him in a bad spot right between the hands. But, man, that was a crazy game. If you were just watching to watch, that was an exciting game to watch. Jackson Dart, Jaden Daniels go after one another. And the defenses, it was no more than, you know, a speed bump along the way. Your thoughts on Oregon, Ohio State? I felt before the season, Oregon had a shot to really be a team that could be there and play for the national championship. Friday night was no indication, you know, playing that game. They sort of were peeking ahead a little bit, you know, when they played Michigan State. Your thoughts on this? And, boy, you talk about a coach under pressure at Ohio State, because now they've spent all this NIL money. They have everything set to win a national championship. And for a team out west might be, you know, an obstacle to that. Your thoughts, Oregon, Ohio State?
Yeah, another barn burner. It's going to be a killer game, and one that you got to really sit down and consume from start to finish, because I think it's going to be one of those nip-and-tuck affairs. You know, the one thing about Ohio State is this. They have no weaknesses on paper. They have the best wide receiver in the country. They have outstanding quarterback play. They have been defense that just really gets after you relentlessly, and the advanced data really, you know, spells that out as well. They're number one in the country EPA per play offense. Oh, and by the way, they're number one in the country in EPA per play defense. Again, they have no shortcomings. There's no real cracks in the dam. Oregon has shown some weaknesses at times. They're a team that's very good, according to the advanced data that is out there. But, you know, of course, with the home advantage for the Ducks, are they going to turn to Fogwa at home? I don't think so. But I think Ohio State will end up victorious in this one. Probably win it by a field goal boot. So if you want some betting action on it, I would take Oregon plus the points because they're catching 3.5.
I agree with you. I think if it was 3, I might think. But that 3.5 makes me side with Oregon.
Brad, I want to switch it over to the NFL real quick for Thursday Night Football tomorrow. We got a big bout between the 49ers and the Seahawks. And I'm looking on BetMGM right now, and the 49ers are favored by 3.5. And I just don't like that. They don't have that killer instinct they've had the last couple of years. I know the Seahawks and the 49ers both just had terrible games this past week. But are you surprised that the Seahawks aren't favored here in Seattle?
Well, Seattle has played a kind of a weak, soft schedule to begin the season. And as a result, you know, their shortcoming last week against the New York Giants, I think, showed some of their true colors. The team's not really wrapping up in the trenches. And when you have a running back like Jordan Mason, who has been a certifiable Clydesdale, he's going to be tough to contain. He's probably going to get the ball, you know, 20, 25 times in the game, appreciable yak, appreciable missed tackles forced. Brandon Ayuk, you know, lit up the opposition last week in the first half, went over the century mark in the first two quarters of play. I know the secondary is a strength of this team. Devin Witherspoon's been quite good this year. Brown's been excellent as well in coverage. I do like Seattle, though, guys. And the biggest key in this game for me, you know, I spoke about Jordan Mason and his potential success on the ground. It also applies to Kenneth Walker III. The one area of weakness defensively for San Francisco is in the trenches. They're number 20. And rush EPAD on the season, they're going to bowl north of 4 yards per carry, close to 100 rush yards per game just for the running back position. And Walker, you know, McDonald came out and said it was a disservice to him to only give him 5 carries last week. What does that mean? He's getting the ball early and often in this one. I think he's going to have a tremendous amount of success. So, yeah, I would take Seattle plus the points. I may sprinkle a little action on the money line. I think they will get the best of San Francisco because of Kenneth Walker.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
First play.
Your thoughts, Washington Commanders and the Baltimore Ravens. Jaden Daniels, and it wasn't a smooth ride last week. Figured out a way to get it done. Man, and I've seen it so many times, and he's so cool. You know, nothing's going to really rattle him a lot. And, you know, he's got a gun on him, but he does trust his legs too. I'm glad he's learned how to run out of bounds or slide. Going up against Lamar Jackson and King Henry, you've done this a long time. Watch a 30-year-old running back that size with that type of speed, and you see guys making business decisions. Man, I ain't getting in front of him because he's going to run me over. They sort of olay him. They get to the side to try to take him down. And so, man, that's a big line there, 6.5. Your thoughts, Ravens, Commanders?
Yeah, this is the moment of truth, I think, for Washington. Are they a viable contender? Not only in their division, but maybe in the NFC in its entirety. Now are going up against, well, the Titans of the AFC, and a team that's really disappointed defensively. I mean, you look at the Ravens, they're number 22 in the NFL EPA per play defense. It's so uncharacteristic for a Harbaugh coach team, but that's the reality. And I think Daniels can have a ton of success in coverage down the field with Terry McLaurin, with some of the other weapons he has on staff there, maybe Zach Ertz across the middle of the field, and that 1-2 punch of Austin Eckler and Brian Robinson Jr. there on the ground to add that balance. That is an area of strength for Baltimore, is defending the opposition's ground game. But Jaden Daniels, a guy that you know is springy and spry, and he's very opportunistic with his legs. And here's the crazy takeaway that we've seen 5 weeks into the regular season that nobody saw coming. Jaden Daniels right now, according to Pro Football Focus, is number 4 in all the NFL among all quarterbacks in adjusted completion percentage. There were question marks, not about the deep ball. We all knew we had a howitzer. But was he going to be accurate? Was he going to be precise in the intermediate field? He has proven those doubters wrong. This is a time to silence everybody in a game with pew, 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 shootout appeal. It might be first to 35 wins in what could be the most exciting and take-your-breath-away game of the entire NFL slate.
A lot of people will be watching this. Sean Payton and the Denver Broncos play the L.A. Chargers. The Saints on a short week because of the fact they play Sunday and then will play Thursday against the Broncos. Your thoughts on this? And, man, the Broncos defense, Vance Joseph, man, I covered him when he was in high school. Vance was one hell of a football player, taking over that defense for the Broncos, done a great job there going up against the L.A. Chargers.
Yeah, it might be a first to 9 wins that game, like 9-6, battle of the field goal kickers, because both these defenses really mirror images of one another, and the rankings bear that out. You look at Denver, the number 3 in EPA per play defense, the Chargers number 2 in that category. Both these teams are rather inconsistent offensively, outside the top 20 EPA per play offense. I think the key is, you know, Bo Nix is a scoring duelist of sorts, a guy that can get it done through the air, and he's been force-feeding at times with some success the ball to Cortland Sutton, but he can also make plays with his legs. The checkdown game to Javonte Williams has been quite effective as well. It's going to be a war of attrition is the bottom line. And, you know, that's strength on strength with those electric defenses on both sides of the ball. But if Denver gets a leg up here, that team, you know, is a dark horse to get a wild card spot in the AFC. I wouldn't immediately write them off because that defense is so damn stiff.
Yeah. Last question for you, Brad. I'm surprised with the line. And I thought it would be double digits, but I didn't think it'd be this much. You're talking about 14.5, Texas, Oklahoma. And I think a lot of that, Brad, isn't it kind of the last impression you had of Oklahoma? They played lousy against Tennessee. The score was no indication of how dominant Tennessee was in that football game. You make the change at quarterback. OU's defense really kept them at least fairly close in that game. Texas OU, and now Texas having to carry that real, man, sort of heavy crown of being the team to beat right now.
Yeah, Texas is a team, they're the favorite to take the SEC, and everybody's been beating up on each other, and maybe that applies in this game. Maybe this is the upset special the entire weekend, laying that 14.5 for Hook'em Horns. But, I mean, again, the advanced data points Texas in one direction and one direction only. They should secure the dub. I mean, they're top five in the country in EPA offense and EPA defense. Oklahoma can't hang because of that defense, and as a result, I probably would bet most strongly on the under in this game on the game total. But Oklahoma, only number 70 in the country in EPA per play offense, so they have been definitely struggling in that capacity. My friends at College Football Insiders, they crunch a lot of numbers. They project this Texas 31, Oklahoma 18. So they are siding with Texas laying the chalk there in this game. And I think it's going to be darn right close. We're going to come down the bitter end. But I think the total on the under is, again, the finest play because both these teams, I think, are going to be lucky to escape the 20s in the end.
Brad, thanks so much for joining us. Oh, man, always enjoy our time with you. Do a great job. And we appreciate your time and efforts each and every week here with us.
Muchas gracias. Go, Jane Daniels!
There you go, brother. Appreciate it. That was Brad Evans, host of BetMGM Tonight and Odyssey Sports BetQL Insider.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.